This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. So Joe Burrow doesn't seem to have a problem with playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. His father making that point on a Canadian radio station, saying, oh no, he's got no problems playing with Cincinnati. You know, really, your son doesn't really have a choice, does he? He could sit out of football. He could play in the XFL, I guess, but those aren't really choices. Cincinnati is the number one pick, and they need a quarterback, and they're going to take Joe Burrow, so he better like it. Now, he can say I'm not going to sign or anything crazy like that, but yeah, that's not going to work.
Could he pull an Eli?
He could pull an Eli, but it's probably not going to work. I don't know, his dad's a coach, was in the Grey Cup. He doesn't have the same pull as Archie does.
But doesn't it seem like poetic for him to go back to Southern Ohio?
He's an Ohio guy.
He's a Southern Ohio guy.
Right. So why don't you go to Cincinnati? The other thing too is we as fans, we look at these things and we say, like, I've seen this a lot where, you know, Clemson fans are saying things like, yeah, well, Joe Burrow may have won, but he's got to go to Cincinnati. So who's the real winner? Well, Joe Burrow. He's going to get a lot of money. And he also has the confidence and ego that says, yeah, I'm going to a bad team and I'm going to make it better, because that's basically how this works. Now, occasionally you get a good team that's pretty decent, just lost some significant games due to, you know, maybe an injury or this and that to a quarterback or whatnot. And they've got a nice high draft pick, but in reality, you know, they're built to win. But most of the teams you're going when you want to be a top pick are not very good football teams. That's why they need you, and that's why they're picking at that high level. Where does Burrow want to go? The Steelers? Like, where does he want? Like, if you're of the mindset of, I want to be a number one overall pick, well, that means you're going to a bad basketball team or a bad football team, right? That's what it means. You never go, I want to be the number one pick, but I need to make sure it's a team that has consistently been in the playoffs and has made deep runs. Well, if you want that, then go 27th. Be willing to go 30th. Be willing to go whatever, you know, down in the bottom. But if you're a first-round talent, first-pick talent, you go to a bad team. So you've probably already mentally prepared for that possibility.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And you can follow us on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Let us know what you think about the championship weekend. So the Titans will be going to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. That'll be the early game. And look, we talked about this yesterday. There are two games this weekend where these are rematches of games from the previous season. You can look back on those games and find some nuggets of information that would help you analyze or make some expectations going into this game. And there are other things you just got to cast off and throw away, that they may not be relevant at all. One of the concerning things for Tennessee is naturally Patrick Mahomes, obviously. And it's obviously Tyreek Hill, who torched them in that Week 10 game. Kansas City lost 35-32 in that Week 10 game in Nashville. And a lot of it was Tennessee being able to capitalize at times on some miscues by Kansas City. But it wasn't because they stopped Kansas City. It wasn't because they contained Kansas City. In fact, the Chiefs had over 500 yards of offense in that game, and Patrick Mahomes threw for 446 yards. Now, one of the things that he did not do that we pointed out yesterday was he did not run. He was just coming back from the injury and did not make any attempts to run. That's going to be a different Patrick Mahomes that they're facing. But the circumstances are exactly the same for Tennessee. They weren't missing two or three guys that would make a huge difference in containing Tyreek Hill. They weren't, that's not what's going to happen in this game. Tennessee is either going to have to come up with a different game plan defensively, because if you're going to give up 530 yards to Kansas City in week 10, you have to hope for circumstances and special things to go your way. You need a blocked field goal. You need a fumble return for a touchdown. You better win the turnover battle. They're going to have a similar game like they did against Baltimore. Baltimore won time of possession. Baltimore won yardage. Baltimore was just stymied enough in the Tennessee zone that it gave the Titans a victory. But if you're going to give up that kind of yardage to Kansas City at Arrowhead, you better hope there are some things in this game that are unexpected that go your way if you're going to beat the Chiefs. I expect Kansas City to do exactly the same thing against Tennessee's defense that they did in Week 10. And there's no reason at all to indicate that the Titans have shored things up defensively enough to do something against this Chiefs team. Again, what they did with Baltimore was they read the right reads. They just read the right plays. They stopped Baltimore on a number of fourth down opportunities, but they let Baltimore get their yardage. They just didn't let them get in the end zone. I don't think you're going to see Patrick Mahomes make that kind of mistake that Lamar Jackson did against the Tennessee defense. This is a good defense. It's not a game-changing defense, but it is good. There are playmakers on it. They can get to the quarterback. They can cause some havoc. They can create some turnovers. But it's not a San Francisco defense, right? It's not on the level of the 49ers, which 49ers defense can carry them to the Super Bowl. That's not what Tennessee has. But what Tennessee has is they have an ability to run the ball with Derrick Henry. They have a good playmaking quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. I just don't think they can keep up. It feels like I said the exact same thing last week, and I did. I did say the exact same thing last week, that the Ravens, you know, had an offense that was going to score every time they had the ball. That didn't come true. I'm saying that about Kansas City. The Titans don't have a defense to slow down Lamar Jackson. I'm saying the same thing about Patrick Mahomes, but they did. Would it surprise me if Tennessee was able to get its fourth straight win on the road, going back to the last game of the season where they won at Houston, although against Houston seconds and third string guys? But I would be really blown away if they were able to put that kind of effort and win against Kansas. The idea of this team, this Titans team, as good as it is and as impressive as it is, think of the task that's ahead of them. Think about what they would have accomplished if they go to the Super Bowl. Securing a playoff spot in the final week of the season, going on the road to beat the Patriots in Foxborough, going on the road to beat the number one offense in the NFL and Lamar Jackson, who's going to win the MVP, and riding what, a 12-game win streak going into that game, and then go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead when the Chiefs came back from a 24-0 deficit the week before behind five touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes. It would be one of the greatest playoff runs by any team. And we've seen six seeds go. But remember when the Packers were a six seed, 10 years ago? And they went, one of the reasons the Packers were a six seed that year, they were hurt most of the season. So they were losing games because of injury, and then they got healthy. And I think the Giants were a six seed when they won one of the years that they went to the Super Bowl against the Patriots. I think they were a six seed. But if this six seed goes through the Patriots, Ravens, and Chiefs on the road, Brady, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, right? Belichick, Harbaugh, and Reed, with a team that went 2-4 to start the season, with a quarterback that a tanking team didn't want anymore. I'm serious. I mean, it could be one of the greatest postseason runs by anybody. They'd have to obviously cap it off with a Super Bowl victory, because we just don't remember the loser journeys. But if they did, it would be one of the greatest runs in playoff history. It's one of those things where it's one of those predictions where you can see it, but you also go, but my God, it's a lot to ask. It's just a lot to ask, and it's a lot to expect. But they've done it, and they've done it because they play tough football. I mean, they will ground it out. Kansas City, you can say all you want about the Titans giving up yardage to the Chiefs back in Week 10, and they are expected to do that exact same thing. Tyreek Hill had a huge game, 155 yards receiving on 11 catches, because they couldn't stop him. They don't have the speed guys to contain him. Very few teams do. But on the flip side, Derrick Henry ran over the Chiefs' defense as well. And that was another reason that the Titans won that game in Nashville. But the Titans got a lot of luck. They're going to need it. It's hard to predict a Tennessee victory, but in the end, if it does happen, it's not a shock the world thing. It's funny, Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans, used that phrase, the Titans have shocked the world, when they beat the Patriots. And I think for a lot of us, it was shocking. Because, again, we know Belichick, we know Brady in the postseason. Maybe they got a little up and down in the season. Maybe this season, you know, offensively didn't look good. But Foxborough playoff time, very few teams have gone there to win, right? Not very many. I think the Jets and the Ravens have gone there and emerged victorious during the Belichick and Brady era. And now the Titans are on that list. But I don't think it was a shock the world last week. I think it was shocking, but I don't think it was shock the world. I think it was one of those, wow, they really did it. I can see it. Didn't expect it, but I could see it. Probably feel the same way if they get this upset over Kansas City at Arrowhead. Really didn't expect it, but I could see them doing this. Now, the Packers and the 49ers, we're going to get to that game coming up and the keys to the Week 12 matchup where San Francisco pretty much throttled them. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, is this redemption or a repeat? We'll talk about that next. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron, with two N's, please. If you're going to hit him up on Twitter, it's SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, folks, with the average age of a U.S. vehicle being almost 12 years old and a new one averaging $34,000, many of you are looking for the best way to make your car last. Well, here's the secret. Do your maintenance. Fluids and filters. Replacing the fluids and filters with quality products at a regular intervals, that's the best thing you can do. Everybody remembers oil changes, but it's more than that. We're forgetting the coolant, the transmission, steering, differential, and brake fluid changes that need to be done every 2 to 3 years as regular maintenance. Now, if we do these services and use good products, it's going to add years to the life of your car or truck. Just remember, fluids and filters. Change them often and use good stuff. Cars and trucks are too expensive to just throw away like they want us to. I know car companies make money when they sell you a new one, but let's make them wait as long as we can. This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and sign up for our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify.
People like to say, the roads are bad. Well, clearly they're not behind the wheel of a Jeep SUV. Just think about it. The road doesn't make itself slippery. The road didn't ask to be buried by a blizzard or demand to be cracked and potholed. And the road is certainly not trying to make you late. The road is, after all, just pavement and a little paint. But a Jeep SUV isn't just another SUV. It's the original. An adventure-seeking, trail-rated off-road / on-road icon. With legendary 4x4 capabilities and enough available safety and security features to make your family jump for joy. Because in a Jeep SUV, there's something for every road. Good, bad, or non-existent. And depending on what you're driving, bad roads can be oh so good. Come see for yourself and get a great deal today at the Jeep Start Something New sales event. Jeep is a registered trademark.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Jenna Thomas is going to join us in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I should say, to talk a little conference championships from SB Nation. We like having Jenna on. She's really good. Out of Atlanta, right? Remember she covers the Falcons on a regular basis?
Diehard Falcon fan.
Diehard Falcon fan, but covers the NFL as a whole, so we'll talk to her about her thoughts on the conference championships. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Before we get to the NFC game, can I do a little Tony recommends to the weekend?
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Good movie. Quentin Tarantino with Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. Good movie. Long, but good.
You know what? I'm going to start it right now.
Rented that yesterday afternoon because it was kind of a lazy Thursday and I didn't have a car because I lent it to my sons. I was trapped in the house. I said, all right, well, I'll rent a movie. And I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I said, you know what? I've heard good things about this. The Academy Awards is, what, like a week after the Super Bowl or something like that? So, all right, I'll watch it. Good. Leonardo DiCaprio is a really good actor. Everything I see him in, he's never had a bad movie where he's bad in it. I've never had a movie where I went, man, Leo didn't bring it in this movie. He does great work. But you know who steals the movie is Brad Pitt. He's phenomenal. He plays a stuntman. Leonardo DiCaprio is an aging 1960s television and movie star. He's kind of struggling to get work. And his best friend is his stuntman. And Brad Pitt plays the stuntman. And he's great. Really great in it. If you like Tarantino movies, it's got a Tarantino twist. It's got some moments of dead spots, but other than that, not a bad movie. I'm a terrible movie reviewer. I just give you what I like and let you let it fall where it may. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's pretty good. So my sister told me about it. She's really into movies. She said, you should watch it. You'd like it. I go, all right, well, let me try it. So, all right, the NFC Championship game. This is a rematch from Week 12 where San Francisco just throttled Green Bay. Final score of that one was 37-8. You want to know how bad it was, Ron Culver? You want to get the Aaron Rodgers statistics for this game? How bad San Francisco's defense just made that night a hell for Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers threw for 104 yards and on 3.2 yards per attempt. Aaron Rodgers with 104 yards, that is statistically his worst game of his career. He was sacked 5 times. But here's the key statistic is how dominant San Francisco was in this game against Green Bay. And remember, Aaron Rodgers, not just Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers was on the field, the Green Bay Packers did not convert any of their 13 third down attempts. They were 0 for 13 with Rodgers. That's how bad that game was for Green Bay. Problem? Yes. Expectation that it will happen again? Don't bet on it. Don't bet on it. Now, listen, the 49ers defense is very, very good. It's the best of the four teams that are remaining in the conference championships. It's excellent. Excellent. And they're going to get to Rodgers. They need to protect him better because when Rodgers has got time, he does make things happen. In analyzing this game, there were a number of times where Rodgers had just very close to scoring touchdowns, as we talked about yesterday. They had some offensive line shuffles in that game. They're looking to get Brian Bulaga back. He was sick last week against Seattle, so that is absolutely going to help. But when you're going up against Dee Ford, when you're going up against Nick Bosa, there's only so much you could do. I mean, you're not going to contain those guys. They're going to get to your quarterback. So you got to figure out if you're Matt LaFleur, what can we do offensively that's going to be different? We've got to do something different. Otherwise, the expectation is going to be San Francisco is going to do it again. They'll score enough points. They'll stop us defensively, and we won't have a chance at Levi's Stadium. Now, listen, I trust that Aaron Rodgers can do things at the quarterback position with experience that other quarterbacks just don't. They're not able to do. Meaning, if he gets you once and you get the best of him, he's able to go, wait, okay, here are the things that I need to do that are much different than what we saw back in the last matchup. And I think Aaron Rodgers is one of those quarterbacks that does it. I remember when I was in English class in high school, we read the book Beowulf, remember? And the monster Grendel, he would always attack. Like Beowulf let one of his men get eaten by Grendel because he wanted to see how the monster attacked. Then I've always used that analogy in sports to certain athletes where they will go, okay, look, this game is out of control. This game is, I'm now learning how the beast goes. I'm learning, I'm getting their best effort, and now I got it. We're going to lose this one, but I now know what to do the next time we play.
We had said earlier in the week that this game was such an anomaly for the Packers. They just, as if they didn't even get on the plane to San Fran.
Yeah, this is weird. This is, right? Statistically, this is really bad.
But we had said that, you know, this was one of those games, it was a throwaway game for the Packers. They didn't even bother watching the film.
Yeah.
I'm thinking now, you know, with everything you just said about Aaron Rodgers, because you're dead right on. You know, I mean, as accurate could be. I believe he probably watched the video.
Oh, he's probably completely analyzed this and because, said, listen.
And, you know, to further your analogy with the Beowulf, he kind of saw like a whole game plan that they had built to stop him.
Right.
And that's and that's dangerous now.
That's right. That's right. I don't expect the same result at all. Same result at all. I think this game gets out of hand. It gets out of hand quickly. I think there's adjustments on the offensive line that weren't made. There are personnel on the offensive line that weren't there. I think that now that you can see where the pressure is coming from, how guys are reacting to your guys, et cetera, et cetera. And also remember, as people have broken down this film, Rodgers they were 0 for 13 on third downs, but there was, you know, an inch away from completing a pass for a big gain. They were one hand getting in the way of a deflected pass that was perfectly thrown. You know, look, that's not to say that kind of coverage won't be there again, that will force a throw that's just slightly off, but don't count on these passes not being there again for Rodgers and not being completed. So I think you're going to have a different game from the Packers. Now, that being said, I think this 49er defense is so good that it will still be enough of a problem that puts this game in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo and the running game for the 49ers. Remember, they had that one drive against the Vikings. They didn't throw the ball once. They didn't have to throw the ball once. And I don't think Green Bay's defense, which was what we talked about at the beginning of the season when they played the Bears to open up the season, I don't think it's good enough to slow down the running game with the 49ers. This will be closer than it was in Week 12. I still think the Niners can do enough defensively, though, to still make it a problem. But you're not getting 104 yards passing from Rodgers in a second game. Nah, he's going to convert third downs, and he's going to get more yardage than 100.
I'm with you up until, you know, the final 2 minutes of the game. I just foresee that if for whatever reason Rodgers has the ball in the final 2 minutes of the game with the game on the line, that they're going through.
Yeah, I agree.
That he'll throw it into that extra gear that the Niners just don't have an answer for.
Remember in that game against Seattle, Seattle was coming back and he threw that one pass to Davante Adams on third down late. Remember, the Seahawks mm-hmm. were trying to get a punt and trying to get back into this game. And Rodgers threw a beautiful dime that just lands perfectly in Davante Adams' hands in coverage that converts the third down, gets the first down, and extends their drive. These are the kind of things Rodgers does under pressure. I agree. If this is close and Rodgers has the ball, forget it.
It's those moments that he does that just to remind you guys, like, hey, guys, I'm the best passer in this league.
That's right.
You can give records to, you know, Drew Brees can have all the records for all I care. I'm the best pure thrower in this league. And he does that from time to time where you look at it and you're like, my God, I mean, you couldn't draw that on a line better.
They've got to get him protection. Getting sacked five times. And I know, again, they had Bulaga out for that game and they're going to get him back. He was out for the Seahawks game too. So he had the flu in the Seahawks game, but he was out for this game against the 49ers. And then they really didn't have the replacement, I think, got a name, I'm drawing a blank, but they didn't have really anybody for Nick Bosa. So, and Dee Ford on the other side as well. But if they can just get him enough time, and it's hard to do against those two guys especially, and against this pass rush, which is just relentless, then this game becomes really interesting from that standpoint of, all right, if Rodgers is able to do Rodgers things, how are the 49ers going to respond to that? Is Jimmy Garoppolo up to the task of matching? But I don't know if it gets that far. I don't think this is a shootout-level game, because I think the 49ers' defense is good enough to prevent that. But I think you're going to see a different Aaron Rodgers than this. Absolutely see a different Aaron Rodgers, because statistically, anomalies aside, that's the worst game you're going to see from Rodgers. You're not going to get that twice. I mean, when do we have elite quarterbacks get stymied that much, like by a defense that often? They usually figure it out. They usually see the beast and respond to them and go, I got it. Yep. I know what to do now. I'm going back to this. All right. Jenna Thomas will join us. SB Nation. We'll talk to her about these games and what her keys are as we continue our coverage of the championship games here on a Friday. It's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM, on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, Conference Championship Weekend, Tennessee, Kansas City, Green Bay, San Francisco. Two teams left standing at the end of Sunday for Super Bowl 54 in Miami. Gina Thomas joins us from SB Nation. Give her thoughts on the AFC and NFC title games. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good. All right. What a fun game Kansas City had against Houston in last week in the divisional round. But this Tennessee Titans team, they won't go away. They've got Derrick Henry. There's a spunk to them. There's something tough about the way they play. Does the formula work again? Derrick Henry make plays on defense? Or is Kansas City on to something different?
I think that Kansas City is just on another level right now. The way that Patrick Mahomes plays, I think that they're just going to be very, very difficult to stop. But I think that Tennessee does deserve a lot of credit for the way that they've played. I know that that Vrabel said, I think it was yesterday, that he calls his team street rats because they just find a way to get it done. You know, they find a way to survive these games. And I thought that that was a very interesting way to describe them. They certainly have been scrappy and unexpected this postseason.
In terms of Derrick Henry being able to run the ball, it seems the formula, like run the ball, run the clock, right, do all those things. But that wasn't the case against Baltimore. They had Derrick Henry running the ball, but they didn't win time of possession. Are they going to have to win time of possession against the Chiefs?
I think that they really will, yes. I think that they've got to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field for them to be able to win this game. And so, yeah, I think that they are going to have to be able to pound that ball on the ground and keep Derrick Henry going.
In terms of the Titans' defense, they've made some plays. They caused some turnovers. They certainly had, Brady's last pass. I mean, however you want to count that. But they did make Lamar Jackson's day tough. We didn't see that sort of level. We didn't expect that kind of level. Are they sneaky good, or they gave up a lot of yardage in their last matchup? But are they deficient in areas that is exploitable for Kansas City?
You know, I think that Kansas City's offense can exploit defenses in a lot of ways. I think that the Tennessee defense, and looking back at when they played the Falcons, I was surprised that they won so handily, but the defense really had a strong performance that game, and I think we've seen that from them here and there throughout the season, especially in the postseason. But I just think that Kansas City is so unique in the way that Mahomes plays and with the explosive talent that they have on that side of the ball that it's going to be a long day for the Tennessee defense.
That's the way I'm thinking, too. And look, you can go back to the last year's game against the Patriots, where Mahomes had a great... He just didn't get the ball in overtime. You know, Patriots scored again. And you look at what happened in Houston. They make these mental mistakes, and they are dropping passes, and they're making errors on special teams. But when they find out who they are, I can't think of a way to stop them.
Yeah, I really can't either. And I know that going into last weekend's games, I really thought that the Ravens were the team to beat this year. And so the fact that they're gone now has shaken up everything. And at this point, I really think that Kansas City is the team that you've got to beat if you want to win it all this year. I think that they're the toughest team left standing.
What do you make of the Titans' turnaround at 2-4? And here comes Ryan Tannehill, a team that's like tanking doesn't want him, and he's finding a home in Tennessee. And now he's the talk of the resurgent quarterback, second chance quarterback, a win away from a Super Bowl.
It's been such a fun thing to watch this season. It's been so unexpected. I know that when Mariota got benched, I was like, well, there's the season for Tennessee. And I think Tannehill came in with a chip on his shoulder. I think that he came in, he wanted to prove that he could still be a starter in this league. And I think that he's done that. I've been really, really impressed with the way that he's handled this.
I've been looking at this and thinking, and I want to know your thoughts as well. Look, it's easy to look at the Titans and say, well, they're led by Derrick Henry. Well, yeah, obviously the statistics back that up. But when they do need to throw, he's been effective at throwing the ball. He just doesn't have the stats to prove it. But he's made big throws leading into the playoffs and a couple of times in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, stats don't win games. But if you can make those plays when it really counts, that's what wins games. And so I think that Tannehill has been able to step up and do that.
Let's go to San Francisco. And this was a game in week 12 that Ron and I were just discussing was such an, it was such an outlier for Aaron Rodgers. It was worse statistical game. Things just didn't go right. It's a game that spirals out of control. But there was enough meat there from what San Francisco was doing to the Packers that can lend people to think it may happen again. Do you think that kind of dominance defensively will happen again against a veteran like Rodgers who does watch tape?
You know, I really don't. I think that Green Bay has gotten hot at the right time. I think that they look like they're firing on all cylinders. And so I don't think that we'll see a repeat of week 12 this time around against the Niners.
What is it about San Francisco's offense? We talk about their defense and we know the names, but offensively, how do you characterize what the 49ers are offensively?
Kyle Shanahan. That's right. How I characterize that.
Well, you would know, by the way, Gina, you would know his time in Atlanta and what he did with the Falcons. So give a little insight into what kind of is in his head.
Well, first things first, we miss Kyle Shanahan.
I bet you do. Yeah, sure.
He is an offensive genius. I think that he understands that side of the ball on a different level than most coaches. I think that he's brilliant. I think that his scheme works really effectively. And I think more than anything, he just has like an innate understanding of how to feature his players in ways that they'll succeed. I think that he's very familiar with each player's talent and skill set and knows how to use that. And so that's specifically, I think, what works well for the San Francisco offense.
If push comes to shove in a tight game on this stage, if Aaron Rodgers has the ball, I trust that. Do you trust it with Jimmy Garoppolo? If Jimmy Garoppolo needs to do something in the final 90 seconds, is he a trustworthy quarterback in that situation with Kyle Shanahan?
If we're comparing the level of trust that I would have with Garoppolo versus Rodgers, it's Rodgers has how many Hail Mary wins under his belt at this point of his career? But, you know, I've also seen Garoppolo make some pretty amazing plays. It depends on a number of factors. It depends on, you know, are his receivers able to get open? Does he have adequate protection? All that kind of stuff. Rodgers, sometimes those things don't matter. And the way that he's able to make plays with his legs, too, I think gives him an advantage over most other quarterbacks. But, yeah, I mean, with Garoppolo, no, there's not the same level of trust there.
In terms of the defense, look, you could take all these four teams and sort of grade them on what they do really well. How far away is the 49ers defense compared to every other team that's left in the playoffs?
You know, the 49ers, I think, have looked like a very complete team this year. I think that they're, you know, all of the teams that are left, I think, have very strong defenses. I think that that's certainly been a big part of what's gotten them all to this point. I think that they match up pretty well with the Packers.
I'm glad you're with us because Ron and I have been talking about this all season and with your closeness with the Falcons and in Atlanta and following them on a week-to-week basis. How did Dan Quinn keep his job? Because Ron and I thought he was a goner and then they turned it around in the second half of the season. Do they feel like they built something enough to carry it over or they don't need a new voice? How is he still around?
Yeah, I think that if you look at their performance after the bye, it was so strong. Obviously, the 1-7 start was not optimal. And I thought Dan Quinn would be fired also. I thought Thomas Dimitroff would, too. I didn't think that either would survive this season. But I have to say that I think that the one difference maker here is that the players love Dan Quinn. And when you look at the turnaround after the bye, and when you hear what players are saying in the locker room about that, specifically that they're turning it around because of Quinn. And I think that the biggest part of it is that Dan Quinn made the decision to remove himself as defensive coordinator. And he stopped calling the plays on defense around the bye week. And after that, we saw tremendous improvement on that side of the ball. So I think that it's a combination of the fact that the players love him, the players want to play for him. The players did respond in the second half of the season and perform much better. And also just that he has the humility to take himself out of the equation where he felt like what he was contributing there didn't really serve the team well.
Always good talking to you, Gina. Thank you so much. Enjoy the games this week and hope to catch up with you at some point in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl.
That sounds good. I will look forward to it.
You got it. Gina Thomas, SB Nation, as we continue to thoughts on the AFC and NFC championship game. Had to throw in that Falcons question. I know it's a little off because they're nowhere near these championship games. But we finally heard it from somebody who deals with the Falcons on a daily basis, because Ron and I were just in speculation mode as to how Dan Quinn was keeping his job. We knew the second half was good, but I was like, they might still need to clean house.
She thought we were right.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, that's what I got. I didn't really hear anything else except that, you know, we were right.
We were right. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I agreed with you guys. I thought he would be fired. And we're like, see, we know what we're talking about.
We said it all through the first 8 weeks of the season.
And that's why we had to ask you, how did he keep his job?
Really? How did he keep his job? But because, listen, I've seen teams turn it around, but in the end, when it's all said and done, the owner still goes, yeah, but you know what? I got to get rid of the bad taste in my mouth. I'm looking at it as a whole.
We saw Ron Rivera get fired because he was without his starting quarterback for the better part of the entire year.
Right. Exactly.
And he still had a better record.
And Dan Quinn still cashing checks.
Dan Quinn was like, you just picked the wrong owner, Ron.
That's right. That's right. All right. When we come back, we're going to have our predictions for the championship weekend and give you our thoughts on who will be at Super Bowl 54 in Miami. A lot of details, a lot of analysis, a lot of gut reaction, but it's all going to be put to fruition when we come back on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Ron and I are going to give our predictions and thoughts on the championship games and who's going to end up in the Super Bowl, give our opinions on that. Before we do, it is conference championship time, and you can follow all the lines at Bet Online. The early game on Sunday is the Tennessee Titans on the road at Arrowhead to face Kansas City. Kansas City, a touchdown favorite with the total in the low 50s. And on Sunday, Green Bay in San Francisco to face the Niners, a touchdown dog, a total in the mid 40s. Who will reign supreme and host the conference championship hardware? Before the next kickoff, head over to BetOnline and use the promo code SBNation to revive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bring the playoff home with our exclusive sportsbook partner, BetOnline. All right, prediction time. We've reached the week. Broken down all the little nuances of these two games. Gut feelings, statistical backups, all of those things. What do you expect from Sunday's first game, Kansas City and Tennessee?
I'm including the eye test.
The eye test, too.
What else? What other?
Flip a coin.
Flip a coin.
Put two you know, dog bowls down, whatever one he goes to.
A Madden simulated game.
That's right. That's another one. That's another one we could use.
I remember during a World Cup, not sure which one, they had an octopus.
Oh, that's right. Choosing. I remember the octopus.
Remember the octopus would crawl into the thing choosing. I can't help but go nostalgic here. I would like to see the Titans win. I really would. I think.
Yeah, me too.
I think it would be kind of fun. I would love to see Derrick Henry see what he can do on a big stage like this. I just think the Chiefs are going to pull it out.
I'm with you. I think it's the Chiefs' time. I think this is their time. Yeah. They almost had it last year. I think Patrick Mahomes is too good to be stymied in the conference championship games. Although he's young, he's going to have plenty of opportunity. I think this is the year for them. I think that comeback in Houston was a big, big deal for momentum and confidence.
And I'm not saying that this happened, but I'm pretty certain he probably came close to this. He might have gotten blessed by the Pope.
Could be.
I guess there was a bishop in Kansas City who went to the Vatican. He presented the Pope with a Mahomes jersey.
Did he really?
He did.
The Pope seems cool enough to know who he is.
Right? And he probably
He doesn't.
He probably said a little prayer. He probably was like, oh, Mahomes. Is that going to go, you know, whatever he did.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so
yeah, Mahomes, go with that.
Mahomes will be doing... that's the other part of it, too, is that I want to see Mahomes do Mahomes things, and I want to see him do it on the biggest stage of all.
Yeah, I do, too. And so I think it's about time.
I keep going back and forth, like, oh, it'd be great to see Titans. Great to see Tannehill back in Miami. That'd be fantastic. The obligatory shot of his wife would be fantastic.
There's Lauren Tannehill in the stands here at Super Bowl 54.
get Brent Musburger going, whoa,
you quarterbacks get all the good-looking women.
But I,
that's something he said in a broadcast, by the way. I am not if you didn't catch that with AJ McCarron, I just gave you what Brent Musburger told Kurt Herbstreit that game.
Word for word, and he did not get in trouble for that at all.
No.
He got made fun of, but not in trouble. But no, I think it's the Chiefs.
I do too. I like the Chiefs.
I'm going to say Chiefs.
It's funny. I just said it's about time with Patrick Mahomes. He's only really been in our lives for 2 years. So let me slow that down a second. I don't want to get all hyperbolic on you. But I think there's something about this Chiefs team that I just think is too hard to stop for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, when they met in Nashville, too many things went right for Tennessee that you just can't count on. Well, they gave up a lot of yardage, and they're going to give up a lot of yardage again. They're just not going to slow this Chiefs team down.
Just look at last week. I mean, what the Texans were destroying them. The Texans should have won. The Texans should have won 24-0.
Yep.
So, and then on the other side, I'm going against you on this one. I think Packers.
I'm taking the Niners. I think I Niners at home. And so, but you're right. Well, give me a reason real quick before I say you're right.
I just think Aaron Rodgers is going to be too much to handle. I think there's too much experience, too much gunslinger in him to let this game get away from him. Now, I am concerned about the Packers defense, but I think they show up just enough. It's kind of like a reverse Broncos situation with Manning. I think the defense shows up just enough not to screw up the game that Aaron Rodgers is producing.
All right, remember this on Monday because they'll say this. If early in this game you start seeing Aaron Rodgers and you're like, oh, here we go. He knows what he's doing in this one, then the Packers are going to win the game. I don't think there's adjustments. That's a great defense, but I think Aaron Rodgers is so smart at figure you out. If you notice early in this game that they're moving the ball, they're getting first downs, Packers will win.